Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it sounded exactly like a woman was stranded on this side of the highway asking passing truckers for help over their CB radio. The only problem was that no one ever found the woman or the broke down car.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So tell me, do you have a real ghost story? Because if you do, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, just hit subscribe. We would like that very much. It's super easy to do. You could do it right now. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon is with me today. And I'm kind of getting a kick out of people have been posting some really short ghost stories on our social media accounts. And I've got this one paragraph ghost story to share with you.
I love it.
You ready?
I love it.
This is super short, but I love these because it's like everything you need to know about the ghost story in one paragraph. So it says, my dad passed away in 1970. Oh, this is from April. Sent this in. My dad passed away in 1978 when I was 10 years old. Back when he was alive, he liked Ace Hardware. 2 weeks after his death, some flyers from Ace Hardware started showing up on the ground throughout the neighborhood. I just took it as a sign that my dad was in heaven watching over me. Isn't that so sweet? Like, I love that dad loved Ace Hardware because, you know what? I do too. I love Ace Hardware because you can walk into Ace Hardware and someone is going to see you and say, can I help you with something? Really?
They are good about
really?
That.
They're so good about that. You can always find somebody to help you. And like when I go to the big places like Lowe's, I'm like walking halfway across this damn store and I still can't find the paint guy. I'm like, who can help me get paint? Ace Hardware, they're like, are you looking for something? Paint. I can help you right now.
Well, and you know, Ace Hardware's upbeat, whereas Lowe's, I know you guys know what I'm talking about here, but they play like 1970s really sad music.
I haven't been into Lowe's in there, for a really long time.
It's like all by myself. I don't want to be, you know, whatever. Can't live if living is without. And I'm like, one day I'm standing there looking at some sort of plumbing thing, pipe thing, and this guy walks up and wants to know if he can help me. And I said, well, yeah, but first I have a question. He said, what's that? And I said, how do you stand this sad music all day? Like, I could not bear to hear this constantly. So my point is, Ace just feels so nice and refreshing when I go there, you know?
I just like Ace Hardware. And so
she saw flyers.
Yeah, I think that's really sweet. Dad liked Ace Hardware. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks after he died, Ace Hardware flyers were on the ground in the neighborhood. So maybe could have flown off the mailman's truck or something. I don't know how they ended up all over, but I think that's kind of interesting because how often do you see a bunch of Ace Hardware flyers flying all over your neighborhood?
Right. And how about, I think she was about 10, right?
Yeah.
She was very young. What a wonderful thing to have some sort of little sign.
That reminded you of Dad.
Yes, I think that's lovely.
That is a really great one paragraph ghost story. I think that's a really, really good one. So thank you very much for that.
And if any of you guys have just a quick, this was a weird thing that happened. And oftentimes that is the way it happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a beginning or an ending thing. It just has this weird thing happened right out of the blue and I got nothing for it. I don't know.
And you know what's weird is that how frequently these little stories go together. Like this little bit of a story kind of with my next story, they both happen about the same time. Because that was in 1978 and this one was right about then too. It says, this is a story my dad told me years ago. I was home from college one summer, and one evening after dinner, we were sitting outside talking. My dad had drove a truck most of his life. Somehow we got on the subject of what trucking was like before cell phones. And he said drivers depended on CB radios for just about everything. If there was an accident, bad weather, traffic backed up somewhere, that's how you found out. It reminds me of our dad because he was a truck driver and all about the CB radio. Sometimes drivers would just talk to each other to help pass the time on long overnight runs. And that reminded him of a trip he took sometime around 1980. He was hauling a load through a pretty quiet part of the South late one night. Couldn't remember exactly where anymore. Just that there wasn't much around and he hadn't seen another vehicle in quite a while. After he'd been driving for a bit, a woman came over the CB asking if anyone could hear her. She said that her car had broken down and she gave the mile marker where she was sitting. She asked if anybody was close enough to stop or if they could at least get word to the highway patrol. Dad said she sounded surprisingly calm. She wasn't panicking or crying. She just sounded like someone who'd been waiting for help and was hoping another driver would answer. He was only a few miles away. He picked up the CB, told her he'd watch out for her car. He was heading that direction. She didn't answer him. He figured maybe she hadn't heard him, so he kept driving. About a minute later, she came over the CB again. She said the exact same thing she had said before. Same mile marker, same words. Dad answered her again, but once again, no response. By then, he was getting close to where she said she was, so he started paying closer attention to both sides of the highway. When he reached the mile marker she had given, there wasn't a car anywhere. No headlights, no flashers, no one pulled off the shoulder. He kept driving another mile or two because he thought maybe she'd gotten the location wrong. She came on the radio again. It was the same message. She was still saying she was at the same mile marker that was now behind him. Dad said he looked in his mirrors, even slowed down for a minute because he couldn't believe he'd somehow missed a stranded car, but there wasn't anything there. A few minutes later, she came over the radio again, said the same thing. At that point, he reached over and turned the volume down. He'd already driven through the area she kept talking about, and there wasn't anybody there. The next morning, he stopped for breakfast at a truck stop before finishing his run. While he was eating, another driver sat down a couple stools away. Dad asked if he had ever heard of CB radios somehow repeating old transmissions. He thought maybe there was some technical reason for what he'd heard, and the other driver asked him what highway he'd been on, and Dad told him, and the man nodded for a second and said he'd heard other drivers mention odd radio calls on that same stretch over the years. Dad asked him what they'd heard. The guy just shrugged and said different things. Then he finished his coffee, paid his check, and walked out. Dad never made a big deal about it, and he certainly wasn't trying to convince me he had heard a ghost on the CB. We were just talking about the old days of trucking, and that's what he told me about. For some reason, I've thought about that conversation a lot over the years. Maybe it's because Dad wasn't the type to make things up, and he told the story just like he remembered it without trying to make it any scarier than it was. When I started listening to your show, it reminded me of that night we were sitting outside talking, so I figured I'd pass it along and see what you guys think. That's from Andy. You know, it could have been just somebody messing with them. You know, she's on her CB in a farmhouse and just messing with people.
I thought about that too, but then I thought, what's the point? Are you trying to get somebody to stop and get out and look around so you could rob them or something?
Maybe.
I can't understand exactly the point of that.
But I do think it'd be super creepy if you're in a truck, you're hearing somebody who needs help. You're like, I can help this person, you know, because a lot of truck drivers are very good people and they care. And it's like there's a woman stranded. It's middle of the night. I'm going to help her out. And you're getting closer. You're at the mile marker and she is totally not there. And then, but she's saying the exact same thing. It's not like she's like, hey, it's me again. Anybody out there? And not responding to his response. Oh, that's just weird.
You know, I can't decide whether I think this is paranormal or nefarious. This person was trying to set people up.
And what's the end game for it if you're not even going to respond? You know, normally, when you're messing with people, you're kind of trying to get a reaction out of them. This person doesn't even pay any attention to the response.
Yeah, and seems to be saying the exact same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And enough to where the dad thought that maybe somehow CBs could play an old transmission over and over. Is that a possibility?
Well,
it seemed to be the same thing.
When you think about it, it's like, it seems kind of like cute technology because it's progressed so far. But, you know, back then that was kind of cool when CB radios came along. That was kind of groundbreaking for these people to be able to contact each other while they're out driving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't really understand the technology and how it works. It's like maybe somehow they get caught up in a loop. You know, is that possible?
Do you think that there can be some sort of weird residual haunting that happens and it gets trapped on in this frequency?
It kind of just reminds me of, we were talking about it in an episode recently about landlines. Now, you used to get more weird calls on landlines than you get on cell phones these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be somebody messing, but what's the end game?
Yeah, exactly. Because if you're going to try and get them to pull over, wouldn't you talk with them a little bit? It seems like you might say, oh, you know, I need you to pull over here. My car's down in the ditch and whatever.
And then you're going
to
rob them.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of women back then who would flirt with the truck drivers on the, they'd have the CB radios in their house.
That is true.
And they'd have their own cute little CB handles.
How do you know this information, Carol?
I read about it.
Where did you have a CB
I did not. That was technology that I didn't know how to work.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a good story though. And I like dad.
I'm gonna go.
Dad's still like, I don't know what it was, but that was weird that one night.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And he felt it was weird. Like I'm gonna go give some sort of residual thing that he's right. Somebody threw that out there in the universe one time on a CB radio and it's sort of weirdly trapped in that frequency.
And it got looped that one night.
Yeah.
But the other guy's like, what did he say? Different things?
Yeah, different things.
Like, he gave him no information, so dad's like, oh, I don't know what that was.
I think there's something to it.
Let's go to a phone call. And if you want to leave us a message, you can do that at any time. The number's
855-853-4802. I've been listening to you guys for about 3-4 years now. So I want to talk about my parents' house. For years, stuff has happened in that house, you know, light, the touch lamp coming on randomly. The area we live in, Old Town, Florida, Dixie County, it's literally nothing there. But, you know, the Seminoles and, you know, old tribal wars were there and civil conflicts. Tribes probably living next to a lake, two big lakes in fact, huge lakes back in the day. We moved from St. Pete to Old Town in 2003. I was 12. And this went on until I was 18. So I moved out. I think I was 18, 19 when I moved out. Every night. And this happened every single night. I got so used to it. Like, even now, as an adult, when I experience something, which is quite often still, it doesn't really faze me. Normally, I do try to look into it, and, you know, I talk to whatever it could be or who it could be. It usually ceases because it doesn't scare me like, you know, like my girlfriend, or if he has some stuff happen. Oh, God. She's been through some weird stuff. Anyways, every night, I would go to bed. My whole body would sink into the bed. I could see the impression of the mattress folding around my arms, my body. And it was sleep paralysis. I've had sleep paralysis quite a few times in that house. And normally I can break it. Normally it doesn't really affect me. It starts off that way. But then I realize that I have control. I have the ability to move my body. No one has control. And bam, it usually works. I think fear has some place of that. It affects people's minds. They think they can't move. They actually can if they try. Yeah, that would happen every night. The first week we lived in there, I had this dream of the squirrel laying underneath my right side window towards our neighbor's house. She was in a fetal position. Blonde hair, she was naked, and it was pitch black outside, but the moon was shining through all the windows. So it was like a fluorescent, moony look inside the house. It was eerie. But I remember perfectly, like it was like I just had it yesterday, last night. So fast forward to the next week, and I have a dream of the same woman, blonde hair, but she's out behind my other side of the window, which is facing towards the woods. The woods are deep. I mean, there's another road on the other side of the woods, but once that road, when it, because it curves around the woods, it's nothing but lake and woods. But I remember she was standing there in the tree line in a red dress, standing there staring at me, smiling. The same hue of blue from the moon was shining on her. And that was vivid. It was like I was really there. And then that was it. I remember Mom kind of looking into it because I would tell her all the stuff that happened. She asked the realtor, and the realtor said that there was a man and a woman, husband and wife, that lived in that house. Then they got evicted, but the wife was never there after a few years. Like, she just disappeared. Nobody asked questions either. And lo and behold, she was blonde, young blonde woman. No one knew what happened to her. They didn't know what happened to her. Like, there's nothing on this. The man, he lives somewhere in Ohio. I've thought about calling him. Anyways, there's a whole big fiasco when they kicked him out. He ripped out the back of the porch that was in the back of the house, the wraparound porch. Ripped the whole porch apart, took it with him. So the guy was definitely unstable. So there was one night, and this is the one that gets me the most. And there was tons of stuff. After I moved out of this house, tons of different things would happen when I would stay at other people's houses. My ex said that it's probably something attached to me because when we were together, she was wicked, I guess you could say. But she did delve into dark stuff, which I think was kind of the downfall of our relationship. But apart from that, mind you, Florida's hot. I was sleeping, or I was laying down, listening to the radio, my earbuds, and I had the windows open. And I'd say it was about 12, 1 o'clock, middle of the night, morning. And I hear a crash in my closet. I get up, open the closet door, and this brush of cold air. Mind you, the house has to be at least in the 80s or 90s, because I was sweating. I had the windows open. But that closet had to have at least been 50, 40 degrees. And we did not have central air. I walked into the closet, and I instantly got chilled. I could see my own breath. At night, when you look at your own breath, it's fluorescent. It's a hue, right? Well, I look into the corner of that closet. Mind you, the closet is probably about 20 feet. It's not a big wall. In the corner of the closet, I could see someone else's breath. I could see a silhouette of someone else's breath. I turned the light on. There's no one there. And I swear to you, I heard someone breathing. I turned the light off, and I didn't sleep in that room for about 3 weeks. Probably longer, actually. Yeah, that messed me up for a long time. Stayed at my friend Joe's house. I was laying on the couch, and I saw this woman in a Valley Victorian dress. And his house is haunted. His great-great-great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. He would kill his slaves and bury them in the backyard of this pit. And he was also married to one of his slaves. And I think he was also married to the landowner or whatever. Or the woman that shared partial of the land, their family member. Well, I saw a black woman walk from the kitchen to their bathroom like days. Like she didn't see me. She didn't pay attention to nothing. She walked from the kitchen to the bathroom, and she was as clear as I could see this car in front of me. Now I'm going to fast forward to, let's see, when I met my children's mother. She believed that there was a girl that may have passed away in that house because she kept having dreams of this little girl with a white dress, black hair, you know, the typical ghost girl image that everybody sees. We were doing a Ouija board, and we had the candles, we had the circle, we had everything. Everything was to a T. We do our thing. Nothing really happens. The arrow doesn't move. We just sit there because we're not about faking something that we're trying to find. You know what I mean? You don't fake something like that. So we clean up the salt. We say goodbye. We end it the proper way. Blow up. Well, you don't blow out the candles. You flick the candles out or put it out with your fingertips. So we're putting up the board, we're getting everything put away, salt cleaned up, and we hear the lightest footsteps coming down the hallway. Mind you, it's just me and her. She just grabs her iPhone, starts taking pictures of everything in the hallway. Out of the 20 pictures she took, there was one, and it was the very first picture she'd taken. And it's a little girl with an old, like, you could see the knitting of the dress, of this white dress. And it was just, again, fluorescent. It was a hue. It was like a cloud in front of the hallway, but it was so defined. It was, you can't fake something like this. Then we hear something in her attic, and it's just a cover. You know, there's no ladder, there's no draw down lid to pull out a ladder. It's just a piece of wood that's over a hole. Again, I get a chair from the kitchen, I put it over the hole, and I climb up there, and I'm trying to look, there's nothing. And then I felt like Kayla pulled on me, and she had her iPhone. She wanted me to take a picture up there. I took pictures up there, but then I felt like somebody was pulling on me. She grabbed the iPhone. And she was taking pictures unknowingly as she was trying to catch me when I was falling. And two of the pictures shows hands on my back. And she posted these pictures on Facebook. People were saying, oh, that's fake. Mind you, this was before AI and before Photoshop. No, actually, I believe Photoshopping was just getting popular, actually. But we didn't know anything about that stuff. I was able to handle it a little better because I was older and I've already experienced what I experienced. And then let's fast forward to my most recent ex. And yeah, I know I have a lot of exes, but we move into our very first house, pretty beautiful house. Her sister's husband flipped it, he was a house flipper. And he used wood from his great-grandpa's old barn that was from the Civil War era. So this wood is old. I mean, it's old. But it's lined out in our bedroom, upstairs, the kitchen, and a part of the living room. Our first night there, she didn't experience nothing. Of course, it had to be me that, you know, seen something and heard something. Two separate occasions on one night. So I'm laying there, she's on her phone, and I close my eyes and I'm drifting off, and then in the black I can see a man with, like, he's mildly bald, has hair around the side and a little bit of hair on the top, but bald around the middle. Blood all over his face with his mouth just gaped open. I kind of jolt and I turn to her and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm good. So I turn towards her, wrap my arm around her while she's on her phone, drift off again, and the same exact thing happens. But it's a man with long hair with blood on his face. But his mouth is closed. So I jolt up again. And she's like, what is wrong? And I told her what I see. And she's like, well, the house is old. wood is. And I, mind you, I didn't know how old this, the wood in the house was. She told me, and I'm like, maybe it could be echoes, because that's, some things can echo from the past. You know, I chalked it up to that. I go to sleep. We both go to sleep. And this was 3 o'clock on the dot. And I sleep with my 45 right above my head on this banister. I hear in our room to the attic, there's steps leading up to the attic, literally on the other side of where our bed was on the wall. I hear the loudest footsteps, like they were boots, and they were stomping down the stairs. So I quickly grab my 45, I check my corners, I scope the whole downstairs, then I go upstairs, turn the light on, check all the corners, nothing. And that was the last thing that happened in that house. And I told her sister's old man about it, and he says that was probably his great-grandfather because he was flipping the house once, and he would hear a cough that sounded like his great-grandpa, because he passed away when he was pretty young, but he remembers him slightly, and he had a really bad cough before he passed away. He said when he flipped that house, he would hear that cough, and it was in around the same areas, in the kitchen dining room, where the stairs lead to the attic. When they got done flipping the entire house, and his boots, old tiny boots. I've seen these boots, by the way. They're old, and I mean old. Anyways, he found the boot sitting out in front of the door as they were walking out. The entire time they took out the flooring, they cleared that whole house out, and then those boots just come out of nowhere. Just laying right there in front of the door. And he's got those boots in his house underneath the old, his old stuff he used back in those days. And thought that you would experience something like that. He thought it was just for him, you know, because it was his great great grandfather. Stuff tends to happen like that a lot. Lately, not so much with me. I've kind of closed myself off to it. But it doesn't bother me much anymore, so it could be that. Like, I hear stuff happen every now and then in my parents' house, but not as bad.
And either he got cut off right there, or he was in his car recording that and lost service. I don't know, but that's the end. He has definitely had a haunted life. Like, this has been going on a long time.
Well, it really has been. And I think we're seeing a wide variety of activities, from dreams, in the closet situation where felt the cold rush, saw breath, heard breathing and saw breath. He said that I believe a girlfriend felt like maybe something was attached to him. Maybe that might explain some of this. It doesn't seem to matter where he goes. And he could just be sensitive. And so he visits this house and this person and then has that activity.
It did make me laugh, though, because I could relate, because he has a lot of exes. I do, too. And he was dating that girl. And he goes, she was into some kind of dark stuff. And I'm like, but not a deal breaker. Like, the things that we overlook, it's like, she's into some dark stuff, but she's all right, you know?
But she was cute.
She likes to go bowling, and I like to bowl, and she's cute, and I like that. But that kind of made me laugh. I'm like, okay, I can relate to that. But yeah, so I think, you know, too, when you grow up in a house like that, I just think sometimes being around it, for years and years and years, you don't have any choice, but you're going to be opened up to it.
I think so, too. I think it kind of just kind of catches you and grabs you as a child. And then here you are, you know, there. Because we have a Ouija board situation that happened, saw the little girl with the white dress, hear something in the attic, taking pictures. Then they actually did get a picture with showing hands on his back, I believe is what how I heard that. And then eventually see, you know, has this dream, right, with a man with blood all over his face, goes back to sleep, and then has a similar dream again. And that can happen. I've forced myself, you know, occasionally I'll have a really bad dream, and then I'll wake up, and then you can immediately go back into it. And so sometimes it's like I stay awake for a while so I don't just fall right back into this dream again.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like that's what happened to him.
But he has had so many different types of experiences. And at the very end there, he said something about he's kind of shut himself down to some of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever can completely do that, but I do think you can somewhat.
I'm with you.
If I think
sometimes you have to.
But after his life, I'm telling you, I think I'd be shutting myself down a little bit too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is a lot.
Absolutely. And these are the ones he's telling us.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it got cut off. There might have been
He could have maybe had another 10 minutes worth. I don't know.
We don't know.
Feel free to call back in and fill us back in on everything we missed out.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. It's super easy to. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can always become a premium subscriber. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.